But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came upon him, and seeing him, was moved with compassion. And setting him on his own beast, he brought him to an inn and took care of him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. The second Sunday after Easter is commonly called Good Shepherd Sunday because it is the gospel where our Lord describes himself as the Good Shepherd. In a similar way, we can call this Sunday, this 12th Sunday after Pentecost, the Good Samaritan Sunday because of today's gospel. And it is a familiar story to us, familiar parable. There is the man who is on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he is attacked and beaten by robbers, and he's left for dead. Two others pass him by, taking no notice, and then a third, the Samaritan himself. Now it's important to understand the mindset of the Jews at the time of our Lord. Because a Samaritan was considered a foreigner, a non-Jew. Because they come from the area known as Samaria. And they are considered, or were considered, schismatic by, let us say, the right-believing Jews. Because the Samaritans refused the Temple of Jerusalem as being the place, the only place for God's worship. And they had also mingled pagan observances with the observances of the Jewish law, and thus were considered hateful. They were considered abhorrent to the Jews. And yet this Samaritan, this non-fellow Jew, this non-fellow believer, helps the man who is left for dead. He notices him. He observes that this man has been beaten and left for dead. While the others look at it as being of no concern of theirs, as being not their problem. The first one, the priest, he looks at the situation, he says, this man is not of my ritual. He is not of my caste. He's not of my group. He's not of my party. And he passes him by. Then the second, the Levite, again, observing the same situation, says, this man is not of my tribe. He's not my relative. He is not my blood. And he passes him by. But the Samaritan, the foreigner, whose name is derived from Shamar in Hebrew, which means to guard, to protect, he is the watchman. And he sees this reality, and that reality is that the man needs help. Now this Samaritan does not pause to assess the danger for himself, wondering, could the robber still be here? Could I suffer a same fate? Or perhaps worse still. He doesn't issue a document to be signed by the injured man. No extraction of a theological position as a condition for helping this man in his injury, which would obviously not be the case for someone who is in a position of wellness. But he observes this reality, the fact in front of him, and he acts according to that reality. The reality of this beaten and dying man in need of treatment. The Samaritan takes that injured man out of the ditch, and he places him on his own beast. He uses his own resource and then takes him to the innkeeper. And he then further pays with 2 coins of his own, saying, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I, on my way back, will repay you. I will repay you. And thus he leaves this man, this injured man, in safety and in the medicinal care of the innkeeper. This Samaritan is a figure of our Lord, who sees from all eternity, and certainly in his time on earth, the state of fallen humanity. And more specifically, he sees the state of a particular, of every particular soul, of every particular injured soul, a soul that has been betrayed by wicked men, betrayed by the world and the devil that they thought were somehow comrades with them. And these enemies who ambush him unexpectedly, and they strip him of faith, and they strip him of hope and of virtue, and they leave him naked, stripped of grace, especially sanctifying grace. It's an interesting parallel for so many souls who were, and are still being so, mercilessly attacked by the false religion of Vatican II, continuing today, creating a type of Stockholm syndrome in these souls. They don't want to leave, regardless of how they have been beaten and stripped of grace and virtue and left for spiritually dead. Very recently, an individual told me of how one of these hirelings of hell said that it was better for Catholics to tell their sins directly to God and to make an act of contrition because they couldn't have confession. The priests would not hear their confession. Sorry, sick man. Hope someone else takes care of you. Hope someone else can help you, because I won't. And yet our Lord, this good Samaritan of souls, he takes up fallen humanity in his incarnation. He takes up the cause of broken souls at his expense in the sacrifice of his body and blood. And he gives them to the innkeeper, which is the church. He commissions the church to do what he does, to pour in wine and oil into the wounds of these souls and heal them, to resurrect these souls. And thus the mission of the church is the same mission of Christ, the same purpose as Christ. Now it's important to observe that it's not sufficient to merely heal the wounds, to restore or make whole the physical body, the injured body. That's not what the Samaritan stops at. He goes further because he gives 2 coins towards the needs of that injured man. In our own lives, we wouldn't want a doctor who can merely prescribe medicine and who is known to be a true doctor. Unfortunately, so many of them are quacksalvers, quacks to be in short, because they can indeed give the wrong medicine. And many, unfortunately as well, are merely concerned about the compensation an insurance company affords them. And thus, the less he tells you, the better, because he keeps you coming back. We don't want someone in this regard that can merely prescribe the right medicine and then send us on our way until the next ailment. But we want him to also tell us what we need to know and to do what we need to do to not get sick again. And likewise, our Lord and the church, they are not merely concerned about the validity of the priest, the validity of the Mass, merely assuring a true consecration taking place in the Mass, merely enough a true absolution being done to loose sins. These two coins given by Christ to the church are for the souls, faith and morals. What we need to know and what we must do to be spiritually healthy and stay healthy, and thus to be safe spiritually. We should note also that there is no commission for devotion or pious feelings, emotions. These are useful things, but they're not the coins that Christ gives to the church. They are not what the soul needs in order to be healed, to be made whole, and to become strong, to be made well in this world that is filled with these wicked men, these robbers. Just as in the natural order, there are some souls who don't want to take the means or the instructions given by their doctor. And thus they tie his hands, because he can't force you. He's not going to put a gun to your head and say, "You must do what I say. I am the doctor." And it's like this also in the spiritual order. The Catholic faith, Catholic morality, this is the true faith, the one true faith, and true morality. And without them, the soul continues to get sick and will ultimately die the death of hellfire for all eternity without them. There is no salvation without them. Much like the doctor who says, if you don't take these means, I cannot force you to do them, but if you don't, you will get sick and you will die. So what must be our disposition? We must imitate the same question of the lawyer of this gospel. What must I do to gain eternal life? Not what's the bare minimum that I have to comply with, but what must I do? And thus we see this necessity for the church. The necessity to follow the laws of the church, to follow the spirit of the church, to hear the church, and not say, well, that doesn't affect me. This necessity is so important because the church continues that work of the Divine Samaritan. And thus, all of us, priest, religious, lay person, all of us have to thank God for true priests who can continue, who can guarantee the good wine and oil for the wounds of souls. But these true priests, they must also be able to give those two coins that come from Christ. Those two coins of faith and morals. Because without them, they're no better than the priest and the Levite of the gospel. In fact, they're worse because they pour in the wine and oil, but they leave the soul without an innkeeper. And thus, anyone who thinks that it's all up for grabs, that it's a free-for-all, he is one of these robbers of the gospel who attacks the souls, who attacks the Samaritan, and who attacks the innkeeper. Now, in all likelihood, that innkeeper had a woman who tended to the sick, who saw to the more intimate and intricate details of the guests and of the sick. And likewise, in our comparison, the woman who receives the souls in their wretched, shattered state, and who tends to their wounds in congruity with the church, never in opposition to it. That's our Blessed Lady. And so we should reflect. Now is as good a time as any, with not one but two storms possibly heading this way. Are we sick? Are we not sure whether we are sick or not? Are we not sure if we have been attacked and beaten and left for dead by robbers and false pastors and false shepherds? If there's doubt, then go to her. Go to Our Lady. Show your situation. Show your state to her Immaculate Heart that this entire month of August is dedicated to. At Fatima, she said, "In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph." But already, here and now, that Immaculate Heart can triumph in your soul. And taking an example from the Old Testament with the prophet Eliseus and the Shunammite woman, we go to her. We go to her because we need to know. We need her help. And she in her turn will bid her servants in the same words used by the prophet in the Old Testament. And she will say to them, she will say to those servants, when they bring our wretched and broken soul that has been so abused by its enemies, Our Lady will say, "Carry him to his mother." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.